Earlier this year, I decided to upgrade my wardrobe. After well over a decade of dressing in stuffy business suits everywhere I went, I decided to upgrade into a more smart, casual approach at work. The problem was I wanted a more comfortable and relaxed look, but had no idea how to make it. And that's where Quince came in. Quince has now become my go-to. The fits are clean, the fabrics feel nice, and everything just works without needing to overthink it. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for spring. Think 100% European linen shorts and shirts from $34, lightweight, breathable, and comfortable, but still look put together. And 100% Pima cotton tees with a softness that has to be felt. Their pants also hit with that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished enough to wear pretty much everywhere. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands. Because Quince works directly with ethical factories to cut out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/40klore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/40klore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/40klore. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go it alone. About 4 years ago now, I had to move into the hospital so that my young child could get a bone marrow transplant, and it was and forever will be the hardest thing I have ever done. Thankfully, it was both a success, and at the time, I had a really great support network around myself. But that moment kind of forever changed my perspective on health and longevity. And I spend a lot of time suffering from anxiety about my own mortality and the mortality of those that I love. And I've used therapy on quite a few occasions to help me navigate that anxiety, to not just quell it, but to kind of understand it and live better with it. With BetterHelp, you can be matched with quality therapists with care and reliability. BetterHelp does the initial matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with over 30,000 therapists and having served over 6 million people globally. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone help you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we're beginning our coverage of Night Lords, which mostly means Brad and I arguing about Conrad Curse.
100%.
Because that's we were doing it before we even started, because I have strong opinions, Brad has strong opinions, and I'm usually right. So that's how it's going to go.
You only say you're right because you edit.
Yeah. So
I become default. Yeah. By default.
That's how this works. It's called power. Anyway, 40K 40K Lorecast, weekly show in the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, comment on the cast. It does help us out a lot, and I enjoy your guys' comments. They make me giggle, so I appreciate that. If you like it and want to check out some other stuff, check out our YouTube for a bi-monthly-ish, it's always ish, Q&As. We have another one coming up that Brad and I probably should schedule. If you like this show, check out our other show, The History of 40K, where we talk about the history of the game of Warhammer 40K, primarily on the tabletop, but also do some gaming, etc. Or if you just don't like Brad's voice but love my voice, check out my other show, Retro Recall.
Not a real thing.
But yeah, check out my other show, Retro Recall, where I cover video games from the 80s and 90s. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Hey, Brad, remember Echo the Dolphin?
I do.
That game was not that. I just played it for 2 minutes and all the horrible memories came back of just challenge and struggle.
It's got a cool cover, also, though, with Echo.
It does.
Pop it up.
Also, why is The Lion King and Aladdin two of the hardest games ever made?
Because that period of time, they said, figure it out or don't. We don't care.
Yeah. Anyway.
Grab yourself a game genie and move on.
Exactly. Dear God. All right. Anyway. More importantly, if you do want to help us out, we do have two great ways you can help us out and help us continue to kind of expand our show and do more cool stuff, because we have a really big expansion coming really for Brad on YouTube. He's got a bunch of his own stuff coming out for YouTube, which will be really great. Ooh, I forgot. Brad, we've been getting a lot of requests recently, and we forgot to tell everyone, if you play Warhammer 40K and you want coaching, Brad actually is a Warhammer 40K coach. And we've forgotten to promote that for a while. And there's two ways you can get coaching from Brad. One, the modern way, you can join our Discord and you can go there and request it. But the email address is dead, Brad. It's long gone. There's no getting it back. For old time's sake, if someone wanted to email you and not have you respond, obviously.
Old man Brad 40k at gmail.com.
He does still check it on occasion. Yes, that is a way to do it. But beyond that, we also do have two other ways you can help us out. You can go to our website, 40klorecast.com, link in the show notes, and you can buy merchandise. We have sweatshirts, stickers, a bunch of cool stuff, or our Patreon. Patreon's how we've done most of our expansion. It's how we've been able to do some YouTube stuff. We've got some new software that allows us to do some cool stuff on YouTube. Our Patreon's very simple, $4.99 a month. You get this show and History of 40K completely ad-free, or 230.88 Mauritian rupees. Mauritia, which I may be mispronouncing, by the way, that one up there. It's a really cool example of a paradise and why Europeans in the 16th and 17th century sucked. Just east of Madagascar, Mauritius is a paradise, and hardcore paradise. It's got sand dunes that are seven different colors that never blend, which is kind of cool. It has an underwater waterfall. I mean, not really, but it looks like that. It has just beaches upon beaches. The ocean around it is surrounded by a reef, so sharks can't even get in. So you can swim like with reckless abandon. The only problem is it is hard to get there.
Reckless abandon.
So when you're talking about the Indian Ocean, the problem with the Indian Ocean is it's one of the few places that does have a lot of predatory fish. And if you want to swim around the top and splash around our old willy-nilly style, it's one of the places you can get bit. Like just the Caribbean, you're mostly okay. Most places in the world, you're good. But like certain parts of like Western Australia, South Africa, this is one of those spots where like
swim. So I'm just assuming your reckless abandoned swimming is just you.
It's more surfing. It's
punching the water over and over.
It's more like I'll tell you a story another time about when I was in Fiji swimming and like seeing a bunch of tiger sharks and later seeing guys surfing going, well, that's not a great combo. But back to Mauritius. Mauritius was actually interesting thing about it. It was never settled until the 15th century. Arab sailors discovered it, but they never settled it. But my favorite thing is it was colonized by the Dutch first, then the French, and then the British, which if you know anything about history, that's not a great combo. Fun piece, though, is that the Dutch colonized it and had to abandon it because the monkeys there made it so they couldn't turn a profit. They kept stealing everything and breaking everything they built. So every time they tried to do anything, they failed. So go Capuchin monkeys. But the island's probably most famous for the dodo bird. That's where it was, which, to be fair, was an unintelligent, flightless bird that got hunted to extinction. Look, there's better examples of mankind doing horrible things. Cool thing, though, is the island ended up being, well, modern cool thing, horrible history thing, is it's a blending pot. The island, it's got a cool cultural fascination because it was a staging point for the slave trade for both African and Asian slaves, or as the Brits like to call them, indentured servants, heavy air quotes there. But there's a real cool legacy there of fusion. So it's a nice culture of both food and kind of society. So yeah, if you can handle the extremely long flight, unless you're in Africa, it's actually pretty close from there. Great place, check it out. Cool beaches, fun time. There you go. And Discord. We always finish up with our Discord. You can go to our Discord to get coaching from Brad if you don't want to email him and not get a response. You can also... Yeah. You can also go to our
going over all the tickets right after we finish.
Yeah, you can also go to Discord to probably have a lot of comments about all, if you're a fan of Night Lords, about all the stuff I'm about to do for two casts. But more importantly, you can come to our Discord and meet other people who really do like Warhammer 40K, people who like the lore, like the books. With 11th edition launching, people are looking for advice on that. Really great place to interact. Good community.
We've got a lot of books.
12,000 something people in there.
Gaming, great spot. Books to read. Just basically everybody that's in the hobby that has interests, common interests.
Yep.
And we have a lot of different channels that change also.
But with that, let's get into Brad's weird obsession with child murder.
You have issues.
So since we started this podcast, Brad has been bothering me nonstop about how he wants to talk about Night Lords.
Specifically Conrad.
Yes. It's all being covered. Now, he likes the salamanders because they're the good guys, and he loves Conrad, who murders children. I can't figure this out.
You got to have a dichotomy. I'm an eclectic man in my likes.
Yeah. Conrad's a bad person. Like, really bad person.
And a crazy person.
Yeah, good. Great. Way to go 2 for 2 on that. I like Gilliman. Anyway. All right.
Boring.
8th Legion. Yeah, I know, but no, he doesn't do murder children with his hands.
like specifically with his hands. You're like, he's dropped a lot of bombs.
Gilliman's killed a lot of children. I'm not saying he hasn't, but he doesn't look them in the eye, revel in it. But like all legions, 8th Legion were created by the Emperor with a purpose in mind. And like all the legions, except for the 13th, that purpose was messed up because some legions really are more perfect than others.
Also, yeah. Before they got Conrad, the Night Hunter. Well, we're going to go into this in a second, but man, the Emperor basically had a board up of what he wanted to do with the legions, and the 8th Legion was like horribly punish anybody that affronted you. He didn't do anything that helped the crusade in this beginning. They were just there to, my God, did you say some bad shit about the Emperor? Well, the 8th wants to talk to you and everyone that's ever known you. The Kaiser Soze, multiple people, multiple lines. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you and your Kaiser Soze.
It's 100% fits.
Does not.
It does.
How do they Kaiser Soze somebody?
Because Kaiser Soze, if he didn't like you, if you affronted Kaiser Soze, he would kill your family, your friends, anyone that owed you money. He would basically kill everything that had anything to do with you. And this is what the 8th Legion did to people.
No, that's what the Raven Guard did. What this Legion did was they took you outside and cut your skin off and hung it from the rafters.
They also killed everybody that knew you.
This is Vlad Dracul.
They did exactly what I just said with a bonus step. Thank you very much.
I was like, this is Vlad Dracul. This is a little plot.
But they still just did what I said. Yeah. We're getting into it in a few with the old Crimson Boys. Because did they exist anymore? Nope. Did they get an example of? Yep.
Was it subtle?
Nope.
Yeah. All right, but let's get into it. So the Emperor, when he did this, he would draw recruits from different areas. And the Emperor, Malkador, and Valdor, and whatever that scientist was called, had this plan. Yeah.
over her every time.
Well, because he was a stupid name. Her name was, she didn't exist in the lore. And then they added her later, and her name was Astartes. And I just refused to accept this because it was lazy writing.
It's Erda.
But Erda Astartes.
E-R-D-A.
Erda Astartes. Nope. Nope. All right. But what they decided was somehow the gene seeds would work better if the people had a certain background. And I'll be honest, it didn't occur to me till just now how little sense that made, but we're 136 casts in, so I'm just going with it. Not talk enough crap on this thing, letting it go. But like all the legions, the 8th came from a bad place. Arguably, they came from the worst place. And not really an argument. Well, they just did.
Two worst places.
Well, the worst.
No, I'm saying.
The 8th Legion.
No, I'm saying the 8th Legion. Yeah, I'm saying where they
And drew then the Night Lords doubled down on it.
I was saying, exactly.
Yeah. They doubled down. But initially, the original 8th came from the worst one. Of all the spots on Terra,
100%.
They were the worst.
And then they went, and then they found an even suckier place and made that their recruiting world.
What I like about this is we've talked a lot before and we make jokes about Emperor and Malkador being dicks, and we don't drive the point home hard enough. It's not that they're selfish, they are, or that they're callous, they are, or that they're evil, they are. It's the level they take those to. It's well beyond any semblance of like, it's not even end justifies the means stuff.
They were, this is character creation. They were just maxing those.
Yeah. Because the whole thing where like they had the World Eaters, where they had a legion devoted to the mindless slaughter of any enemies in the Emperor. And that was drawn from anyone who failed the Astartes HR exam. Those guys were taken and they had to make another legion. You had the first legion where it's like, hey, go commit genocide just somewhere in the galaxy and just be quietly. Those guys were taken. We needed another group of terror. And by the way, we haven't done Raven Guard yet, which is going to be our next one. Spoiler alert. We're going to do Raven Guard after this one. Ooh. Raven Guard also come from a horrible place.
Remember that when they were doing the Night Lords, they were trying to find people to fill out the Terror Legion.
Yes.
It wasn't like, hey, these guys are going to do this. No, he called it the Terror Legion.
He did. And so what did they do? Well, simple. They saw the movie Escape from New York and copied
that. Fantastic, by the way.
It actually stop. This one I do like. The sequel, Escape from LA, is not very good, but the finale of Captain Ron is amazing. and I'm not dropping that. Captain Ron is the finale of the Escape from New York series. That's just what it is. Everyone has to accept that, and we'll move on with our days. But GW ripped off Escape from New York 100%. That's what this is. Just they put it underground. All right. So after the unification wars on Terra, the Emperor decided to build a super prison. And building cells is complicated and guards are expensive. So screw that. And like, decided that there's a bunch of undercities.
Stuff to do.
Well, no, it's not that he had stuff to do. That's the thing. It's not that he had stuff to do and places to go. He just decided that cells and guards were too nice and went, also, how about instead?
He was too busy building his underground lava lair.
There's also that too. So instead, he decides to just use the underground that had basically been collapsed of cities under Terra. So I guess this is also a little bit Running Man, which is arguably, by the way, Schwarzenegger's best film of the 80s, good film, of quality. Commando is his best film, but like as far as like, oh, the movies he made in the 80s that you watch, and like, oh, does this actually have like purpose? Yeah, Running Man's really good. But underneath all of like these cities is what we call prison sinks, which were nightmare zones. They were described as having no light at all, which makes no sense because humans aren't Smeagol. So we're going to move on from that. And in this cast, we're going to accept the fact there was probably just low light.
I would say no natural light. So they were underground, basically. There's no
light. Yeah, that's what I'm going to. They write it as having no light. It's like, that's just not going to work.
Everybody's so getting whatever. The Vin Diesel treatment on their eyes.
Yeah, they also did that. There was a little bit of Chronicles of Riddick here, but Chronicles of Riddick came out after this. So I was like, I just want to make sure I referenced all this stuff that GW could have stolen from. But anyone who wronged the Imperium were sent down to these hells just to die, like Dr. Evil style, but they actually died. It's like there were no laser sharks, but they would go down there like, yeah, they won't come out of there. And because the entire area is just roving gangs, there are no resources. What is down there, you have to steal and kill for. I'm assuming everyone was cannibals, you know, that type of setup. But not everyone who lived down there had been sent there because people are going to people. Children are born within the prison sinks. And these children were brutal. They were raised by the murder gangs to become the greatest killers in the prison sinks. They could move with absolute silence. They would slaughter their victims. They were basically the boogeymen of the prison sinks. So, of course, the Emperor went down there and kidnapped them and turned them into space marines.
Duh. They were great killers. They're doing the
good work. Call. Yeah, good God. So this becomes the base of the Eighth Legion. The next bit here, I also have to adjust.
Makes no sense because they would adjust immediately once they get the genes.
So apparently everyone being born down there, they evolved in one generation. And so that their eyes don't work very well and they can't really see in the sunlight. So their eyes hurt. So they're like Frankenstein's monster, like fire bad. But that's, by the way, in the books, all of the members of the Night Lords, They don't like being in sunlight because it hurts their eyes. Because in one generation, their eyes evolved.
Let it go, dog. Hold on now. Let's talk about why the Emperor needs a legion made up of your child murder soldiers.
Child murder soldiers? Yeah, because he needed...
He wanted to send a message, a real message. You got to think also we've had multiple legions now that are trying to send a message. And this message was, don't talk shit. Because there's people that revolted and you sent the world leaders to send a message. The Emperor set the original Night Lords to stop people that were basically doing the most tiny of grievances.
So challenge effectively the Emperor had is most of Terra for, you know, millennia now are like, their viewpoint is like, warlords come, warlords go.
Yeah, sometimes people have won before, but yeah, not this Emperor, big, they've won.
The Emperor's another warlord. So their viewpoint is like, yeah, I've been the knee to this guy, but I'm just going to keep doing my thing over here. And because they assume someone's going to kill him, and then they just go back to what they were doing before. Others bend the knee and try to kill the Emperor. There's lots of different levels to these people. And so the problem the Emperor has is you can't just keep reconquering them over and over again, because eventually it just gets boring and you run out of space. So he needed to Brad's point, send a message. And there's levels of message sending. To be honest, there's no reason for any of this, but we'll go through one because why not? Because all they do with, by the way, all these guys is just another example. So, Crimson Walkers. Crimson Walkers are, in effect, psionic-powered homunculi necromancers is the best way to explain it.
Well, they were trying to keep everything alive. They were trying to keep all the mojo alive from before the unification came. So they're trying to do...
Well, it's when you say mojo, let's go what the mojo was. They were homunculi necromancers.
Yeah, that wanted to do their whole warlord thing. Yeah. I called it mojo. You call it necromantic horrific studies.
Blah, blah, blah. These guys were doing is they were using... it's not written as powers of the warp, but it's kind of implied to merge bodies together to make super mutants that were... kind of made out of dead bodies. And yeah, the Emperor knew that that was bad because he knew that that was probably coming from at least one, if not two gods the Emperor had spoken to directly, like, you know, a millennia or so ago. So when the Emperor had encountered the Crimson Walkers during the Unification Wars, he was like, yeah, those all die now.
I mean,
but a couple of them
escaped. Were called the Forbidden Ways of the Old Knight when you read the book. Yeah. So I mean, he wasn't exactly a big fan of this.
Yeah. But a couple of the guys escaped and were taken in by warlords who had bent the knee because their viewpoint was, yeah, these guys are pretty powerful. And when this, you know, new king warlord goes away, I like having some Crimson Walkers around. Eventually, the Emperor discovers one of the big groups and they'd gotten a little uppity. And they built quite a lot of these super mutant
juiced up guys, basically
dead guys. And the Emperor decides send the 8th Legion. So they do. And they decide to kill the Crimson Walkers and everyone associated with them.
Because Emperor wants to send a message because he doesn't want to have to come back here. One of the biggest things about this, and it makes sense in a terrible way. The Emperor doesn't want to have to keep reconquering, like we just said. The Emperor wants to move forward. He wants to push the Crusades. So he wants to drop the I don't want to have to come back here message. And he does, because the 8th Legion comes in and kills everyone. And I mean everyone. I'm pretty sure
everyone comes in and kills everyone. Let's go through the stages of this. Because the Legion comes in and kills everyone. Not narrowing it down.
I was gonna
the Ultramarines did that too. Let's go through what they do. First off, they attack at night. Ooh, spooky. But they actually somehow block out the what's left of the light at night. And these guys are, for whatever reason, they're in the Pacific, or where the Pacific used to be. And they've built their entire cities on cliff edges from, I guess, maybe where the Mariana Trench was. Because don't forget, there is no oceans anymore.
Because we fried it down. Whatever.
Yeah, by the way, it doesn't work like that. The Earth would have collapsed. Side note. But the entire civilization lives in these cities that are basically one main city that's built into a cliff edge. So the attack comes from above. All this bombardment from above comes in, followed by like an oil, like they describe it like the chemical rain comes down from above. But then the Night Lords come from below on jetpacks and shoot up. So as soon as they land, the Crimson Hunters send out, or the Crimson Walkers send out their mutants. And the mutants come rushing out, and they're known, they have like voxes for faces. It's this whole thing, and just get slaughtered.
Yeah. To be honest, they look like grots, which I do think they had technology from that.
It's possible. I mean, so they just get demolished.
They get smoked, but they start making, again, they have but to they, make an example.
They get smoked, but not smoked. Because when they get smoked, they don't get killed quickly. Oh. They get largely disabled. Yeah. And the Night Lords begin basically using their lightning claws, like chop their legs off so that they're lying there. And then they drag them alive to the edge of the cliff and then throw them into the chasm in full view of everyone. And they continue this process until eventually, basically all of the warriors are gone. And then the Night Lords leave. And then as they leave, they detonate the explosives that they've been planting underneath the entire civilization, forcing the entire city to fall into the abyss.
What?
Because that's what they do.
You did skip a part because they did murder a bunch of civilians before they set off the explosives.
Oh, yeah, while they were doing it. Because, well, anyone who was outside. Yeah.
They made it a point.
You're right. Any civilian who tried to flee, they would slaughter them. So they kept all the civilians in the city. Yes,
they corralled everybody inside, and they killed them in such a way that no one else wanted to flee because they were doing that. That's one of the big things is they were sending the terror message of you can't go anywhere. There's nothing you can do. Just accept it. Move on. And well, that happened.
Yeah. So the Eighth Legion.
There was a lot of fighting behind Mary and Ted, who were the two people that cleaned at night. They got pretty wrecked when they tried to make a break for it.
Yeah. The Eighth Legion, then from there on, they take a little bit of a part within the early stages of the Great Crusade. Not much. They're kind of a side part. They get utilized a lot more in the way that the world leaders were originally used. They're not used as a full legion. They're used in pieces here and there. Horus has had some use for them here and there.
They also punched down quite a bit.
Yeah, it was just kind of this like little bits of things, but they weren't actually, this level of terror doesn't happen that much until after Conrad joins. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about Conrad, because this story sucks.
Is awesome. Think you meant to say you've been really messing your words up here.
It's awful.
We'll be right back after a quick break. Starting a business is a massive challenge. You have an idea, but before you can ever get to doing that idea, you have to do 100 other tasks that are not that idea. One of the biggest challenges can be the commerce side of a business. I learned this the hard way, but finding a quality partner for your business is one of the most important things you can do. Companies that will actually support you as you grow, and more importantly, help you grow. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce inside the US. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. What if you get stuck? Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try to figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place, making your life easier and your business operations smoother. Start your business today with the industry's best partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/lore. Go to shopify.com/lore. That's shopify.com/lore. Earlier this year, I decided to give Hims a try in order to shed some weight I've been struggling to get off for the last 6 years, and I'm so glad I did. If you want to know what's really worth your time when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get weight loss by Hims. Hims offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now include Wegovy pill and Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way. With Wegovy at Hims, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, so success is within reach. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles needed, which is really kind of nice. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if the treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition choices like recipes, meals, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits your world and your wallet. If eligible, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as long as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/40klore to get personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/40klore. hims.com/40klore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit Hims.com. All right. So Galaxy sucks. Nostromo. Nostromo really sucks. Nostromo is a hive world that exists on the very edge of the Ultima Segmentum, about 2 o'clock to the extreme, from the extreme center of the galaxy.
You refused east, north, nope. Southwest.
I'm going to keep finding different ways to do it. But I actually Googled different ways to tell direction so I could do 2 o'clock. It's out in the starboard side, as far as the starboard, well, bow starboard of the galaxy. But Nostromo sucks, like real sucks. It sits on the edge of the Ghoul stars. So which is, by the way, not named that because they're fun. And Nostromo survives the dark age of technology, but not in a good way. It's part of a group of systems that had managed to maintain travel all through the dark age, like McCreg, but did the opposite with it.
Well,
in Nostromo.
Well, let's talk about this, because first off, they have your favorite thing that's all over the entire galaxy, apparently. They mine adamantium, for one.
This is stupid part number one. Why are they able to mine adamantium, Brad?
Because they're awesome.
No, because their entire planet is made of adamantium.
Adamantium, I know. That makes no sense.
Yes. The planet is Wolverine.
Yeah, the planet's Wolverine. They decide the ruling class, which is effectively crazy crime lords, effectively.
How do you mine the hardest thing? It makes no sense, but whatever.
Look, okay. They mined it with super adamantium. That's all I have to say.
Adamantium plus.
But they make the entire planet into a mine / forge / smelting place, and it completely devastates the atmosphere. There is zero light that can come, natural light can come through. It is just dark clouds.
Well, not helped by the fact that the planet orbits a dying sun. It sucks. They do the opposite of what they did in McCreg, though. Because on McCreg, they had a similar thing. McCreg had a bunch of very wealthy planets. They were able to use it. They were able to build an economy. There was trade. And it was a rising tide. I mean, there were some people who got screwed up in McCreg. There's no question there.
You had to bring your ultramarines into the cast about the...
Yeah, I'm going to. But on Nostromo, of course, there's just a nobility class who go, yeah, that's all mine. And what happens is the nobility on Nostromo decide, well, I don't want to get stabbed in the back by, you know, this whole working class. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn everything into basically a nightmare zone by allowing gangs of New York.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, they put the populace down in crazy ways. They're just terrorizing. They make...
It becomes cabals.
They're crime lords. They're 40K crime lords, which are cabals. They become oligarchs, basically. They're crime. They rule. And there's multiple hive cities on this planet. So they're huge. The populace here is gigantic. And they want to keep them down. And they do that by being just the worst. They do crazy things to the populace. And anytime there's even a hint of rebellion, they just...
Everyone dies. That's what's saying. It's gangs in New York. Yeah. That's what this is. I also do like that the populace also evolved to have bleach white skin. They're all heavily albinoed, which I guess could happen. It wouldn't in 1,000 years. It would not. But my favorite one is they don't have irises in their eyes. Their eyes are all black. That's just not how that works.
It's not.
That's just not how that works.
Imagine if they had an iris, you would just get somebody would light a candle and your face would blow.
That's their whole idea. It's like, oh, they don't have irises. And this is like, I understand what they were getting at. There's not a lot of light there. So you wouldn't need an iris. Except you still do. Your iris does move even in low light. That's not how it goddamn works. Just why? Why? There's no reason to even put this in. It's just so objectively wrong so quickly. There's no need for this. Come on. Say things like they don't have hair. Okay. Why not? Every single member has alopecia. Okay.
Yeah. It's such a random.
But it's like, I feel like
we should break for a drug ad right here.
Yeah. Like, I don't, whatever. But as we said before, the Chaos Gods, when they kidnapped all the Primarchs, they wanted to tempt them to fall to chaos in one way or another. Some of them they tempted with like grandeur. So Sanguinius, Dorne, and Gilliman, they tempted with, hey, you are a great leader. And so the idea is when you meet the emperor, he's really not. So why don't you be in charge? I guess, you know, the Horus to a point. Others, it was more nobilities like Vulcan and Russ. The idea was to show them the flaws of the emperor. Hey, you're a better human being than he is.
And you know, hold on. Apparently some of them, they just decided we don't have a great
most
plan.
All.
Yeah. They just, let's throw you into nightmare world.
Like I said, I named five. Two of them are redacted. We'll go with Alpharius's question mark. So we'll go with, you know, something that eight. The remaining 12, bad things. Just bad things. And Kurz got bad thing.
Come on. The Kurz, he's arguably the worst place.
It's him. When we do Pederabo, it's actually interesting. Pederabo's one's really messed up, man.
Also nice, but like the Night Hunter. Oh, first off, he apparently either had his pod float on molten lava or he did the breaststroke.
So I'm gonna jump on this now. I actually don't think Kurz's one is as bad as Pederabo or as Angron. I just think Kurz is a crappy person. and just didn't step up. Like other ones just stepped up. Kurz was like, but I've also embraced this.
He did take over the planet.
Yeah, but it didn't fix it. Anyway, so Kurz's pod hits Nostromo like a meteor. It's going so hot and so fast that it actually pierces through the core of adamantium, of course. And the locals find a hole going through the core of the planet and go, that's not good.
Probably
and just
not
cover
great.
It over with
they
dirt.
Just, they just put a manhole cover over it.
Yes,
right. Yeah, we're
right. Yeah. Whatever it is. Which means that, so he, no one saves him. And he must have somehow crawled his way back up, which means he may have at one point been in the molten core of the planet, just swimming around.
Also,
we don't know.
He's the only one that didn't get adopted, taken in by anybody. He gets to a group. It's just Conrad by himself.
Yep. Just hanging out. So
he kind of makes it into the lower levels of it. And
yeah.
This is terrible. What's freaking awful for him, but it's also super awful for anyone around him, because, and I'm not going to let you get away with this, he immediately has this, he's a psycho, don't get me wrong, but he also has this weird warp justice thing. So when he sees people do something wrong, he goes bananas overboard. Like, doesn't matter if it was jaywalking.
You're skipping a step. He first murdered a bunch of people when he came up in the lower levels. That's the first thing he does. Not because they did anything wrong, because he's a psychopath.
Yeah, I didn't.
Step one was start killing people.
I said
then later, he starts justifying his murder through, that guy looked at me funny.
That is not the only way. It is not just stuff that happens to him. He saw something.
It's not the only way, but it is one of them.
Yes, it is. But he starts legitimately going, you're committing crimes, I'm ending those crimes.
Yeah.
So it could be minor. You could
Spider-Man style where he'd like capture them and hand them over to the police.
I mean, not exactly.
No, not really, huh? It was
It was more like he peeled all your skin off and hung you somewhere.
And hung the skin up.
He hung you up and showed basically let you see your skin. That's actually something he did quite a bit.
Yeah, so what happens is he starts doing this, which then brings the attention, like Mad Max Fury Road style, or I guess it's more The Professional, decide to go try and put this down. And this is awesome. Within a year, there is no crime and no struggle.
I was just about to say, you have to, he started with his Hive City first. So they start sending people after him, and he does the world's wildest game of hide and seek, cat and mouse, and just starts sending back everybody they sent to kill him. And he sends them back to the people that paid for them. And then starts working his ways up of, hey, if you commit a crime, I'm going to do some wild event horizon to you. And it's not going to be great.
Yeah. So within a year, there's no crime on Nostromo. So at this point, people like Brad are like, wow, Conrad's awesome. Here's the problem. He doesn't actually fix Nostromo. He just makes the crime go away. He's elected the de facto dictator. He's nicknamed the Night Haunter. Well,
he's the de facto ruler because he's the monarch, the king. He actually became the king.
But he's not in charge.
No, he finds out, they've got a bunch of books and iPads, and I'm going to learn everything about everything. And he kind of ignores everyone unless someone tells him someone committed a crime. And then instead of getting, he made no police and did anything.
Did
he,
nothing. I mean, personally
goes to wherever he was told the crime is and just wrecks those people and goes, if anyone else commits a crime. Also, what is he doing to these people that worldwide, you're like, you're in New York and you hear about somebody in Bangladesh that did something and you're like, yeah, man, I'm just not going to commit crimes because I don't want that to happen to me.
I get a massive kick out of this because people are like, oh, he's like Batman. He's like the Punisher. No, he's Carnage or Bane. Maybe Venom, early Venom. Early Venom.
Yeah, before he gets control of it.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's like someone did something. I'm going to pull them limb from limb.
Oh, but like he does limb from limb is
nothing.
Hold on. I'm going to get the Monty Python. We haven't had a reference today yet. Yeah. Luxury.
Luxury. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It is. But I get a kick out of this because what's funny to me about it is like he doesn't do anything to help the play. He sits there. He eliminates all crime. Something no other Primarch does, by the way. All of the Primarchs still had crime on their planet. He's the only one to eliminate crime, but every other Primarch, but most other Primarchs then like, and then I improved manufacturing. I put in a police system. There was a functioning government. He didn't do any of that. He just was...
About the fact that he had Primarch wisdom and he solved some problems, but then he would immediately go
murder someone.
His vengeance was wild. Yeah. But he's still a Primarch. He's still a genius, even though he's bananas nuts.
All I'm saying is that what happens to Nostromo later, it's like weird. So there was no infrastructure? Anyway.
He did learn a lot, though.
He did. So let's talk about one of the other problems of Curse is he's nuts. Nuts, 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 nuts. And he's nuts because he's...
roll it back, John. The reasons he's nuts? Well, he started out nuts because he's a broken precog and no one taught him. Also, he lived in a lightless world by himself going on murder hobo sprees.
He's
what I'm saying. It's a combo. You didn't have anybody to guide him on this, to show him anything. But no one went any right from wrong or anything else. He had no group to have he just didn't care for others because he never had anyone around. That will mess you up. Also, he started off, I'm already crazy. Let's add all these other things. Hey, was any other of the Primarchs 100% alone? You will get messed up, man. Like, that happens to regular people, let alone superpowered crazy. But
he wasn't alone.
He was alone.
He wasn't alone later. He chose to stay alone.
No, he was. Oh, I said he started alone, and then he stayed.
So did Mortarion.
Yeah, Mortarion found his poke also.
Yeah,
and then Mortarion was legit.
And then Mortarion met people and went, "I should talk to them."
Yeah,
even though I'm terrifying looking, just calling it out. Conrad, though, the real problem with Conrad, though, is that he was nuts. Is that he there's a precog.
Yeah.
Conrad was a precog. He could see the future, but not correctly. He couldn't see all of it. He saw a very small piece of it. It's like if your TV was broken and all you could see was like the upper right corner of it.
Yeah. Well, so also, he gets powerful flashes too. He doesn't get the,
yeah,
he's doing the Jedi meditation stuff, you know what I mean? And figuring it out. He'd be walking down the street and he gets effectively a seizure.
Yeah.
Something I know.
Yeah.
But, and then he goes into
something you're good at this point.
Yeah. I'm the best. But he would get these horrific.
You think he was having blood clots?
Yeah. Cruz, they talk about it because he talks about it in his novel and other things. He would get these just flashes. He got visions that were terrifying. And that's how he saw things. And it was it was the future, but it was also a broken vision of awful every time he had a vision.
So the main thing about Kurz's visions, though, is they are brutally powerful. Like when they hit, it's not, when we talk about precog, it's not like he kind of sees something and he thinks about it, wakes up from a dream. It's more like he's having night terrors, but he's awake. They flash into his brain and they overwhelm him. And
he feels like he experiences. That's the big thing for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't get a vision. He gets I live through this.
Yeah. And he goes into fits of rage as a result of them because the pain and the suffering is all real. Which doesn't help him make friends.
He's weird. I like him, but he's weird as shit. Like everyone that meets him goes,
I would never
ever again.
Every image of him is like,
Primarch that meet him goes, yeah, let's never talk to him again. Cool.
Yeah.
Are we all in agreement that we don't want to?
By the way, not helped by the fact that every time he meets a Primarch, he sees their death.
Yes.
Or their fall to chaos.
And tells them about it.
Not every time. He doesn't tell all of them, by the way.
Not
a couple of them he does, and then he stops doing it because they get really mad.
Because they keep going, hey, man, is there any way you could not ever
do that? It's weird. But yeah, although the interesting one is his Fulgrim's actually one of the more interesting ones. His vision of Fulgrim's the most opaque of all of them. But some of them, he's just like, oh, yeah, I know exactly how you die. So kind of cool.
Well, remember I tell you, he lives through them. He also sees his own death. So
over and over.
And he lives.
What actually happens is, he sees his own death later, though. He doesn't see it until the Emperor arrives. And that's what's funny about this, is that his precog is influenced by the stuff around him and what's occurring.
Also,
it's horrible.
He's so nuts. That's why I think he's interesting, though, because he's a crazy villain. But also, Emperor, being a douche as usual, hey, my son, you are clearly broken. I can definitely help. I am the most powerful psyker in the galaxy. But instead,
the Emperor's arrival in Nostromo is hilarious in so many levels. So first off, Nostromo has had a very long prophecy about the arrival of a glowing golden man being the doom of their planet. So anyway, one day, a glowing golden man arrives. And remember how we've always talked about how when the Emperor arrives, he likes to appear in the way that he thinks people would most want to see him.
Except for these guys who he literally goes, you have been prophesized. This has been a prophecy for so long that basically I would show up and with my most common visage. And instead of doing that, F you. How about I show up as a blinding ball of eating?
I show up to a group of people who have no irises, still not cool with that, by the way, but have no ability to see bright lights. And he shows up like the brightest LED ever made and blinds everyone who sees him when he first comes walking and just starts wandering down as this, like, I don't know, son walking down the street looking for Conrad.
Love this too, because he goes on a chill walk through the marketplace.
It's just a walk, I assume, with a bunch of custodes so the light can reflect off them. So just it's like bouncing around and just blinding even more people because he's just a dick. And he looks through it, everybody. Eventually, Conrad comes walking up. And the emperor, the whole quote here is hilarious. He goes, "Be at peace, Conrad Kurz. I have arrived. I intend to take you home." And Conrad looks at him and goes, "That's not my name, father. My people gave me a name. I will bear it until my dying day. And I know full well what you intend for me." And then that, and he leaves with the emperor,
yeah.
Which is code for like, yeah, I know you. And because at this point, he had his vision that the emperor's going to kill him. So great. Awesome.
And he also
what a great
that immediately he was supposed to be an instrument of terror. And then he felt like this is just his destiny because this is what he did on his home planet. And this is what apparently he was doing forever.
Yeah. What's interesting about this, well, interesting air quotes, Conrad is handed over to Fulgrim because at this point, Fulgrim's one of the emperor's favorites. Don't forget, this is when they are emperor's children, obviously. Fulgrim's basically perfect.
I was going to say they're going for full perfection. And he hands him over to Fulgrim to teach him the ways of the Imperium. Warfare, but not just warfare, it's just how the Imperium works. Fulgrim's a learned scholar of this. He's also, his planet rain is fantastic at this point in time, too. So he gives him over to him and says, basically, learn all about everything, the culture, the history of the Imperium, but the how we do warfare, but also how we are, how the Crusade works. We conquer worlds, we make them better. I'm doing huge air quotes, by the way, here. Make them better and put them aligned.
That part, I don't think Conrad picked up on, I'll be honest.
We'll talk absolutely about
not. You totally missed it.
But I'll say he doesn't need to. That he could have skipped it. The emperor, if he had a bunch of modules that he was supposed to complete, he would have been told by the emperor, "You can skip those and move on."
Oh yeah, the HR training platform wasn't.
Yeah, no, he was like he just leans over and goes, "That's cool. You can skip.
You can skip that one.
I'm not going to be using you in any of those ways."
What's interesting is that Conrad this time was really interested in reading all he could about Terra culture, the history of Terra. And my opinion on that is because he was trying to figure out his visions. He's trying to understand what are my visions. Remember, they are not complete. He's getting pieces of this and that. So he's trying to piece together what he's seeing. So he's really obsessed about reading about Terra, all while Fulgrim's like, "This is how war goes." And Conrad's like, "Yeah, okay. I genuinely don't care. Like, I'm going to do it my way." And eventually Conrad is handed the Eighth Legion. And that is both good and bad. Because what he does with them... Oh boy. Conrad decides to just mold the Legion to make them all the Night Haunter he was on Nostromo.
Yep.
Focusing really not on defeating the enemy, but setting an example. And I want to make this very different from World Eaters. The World Eaters, because we talked about this, they're all, everything's like, we're going to set an example. The World Eaters were butchers. The World Eaters descend on a planet, slaughter everything, and leave. Yeah, they made a pile of bodies to turn into a ramp to run up the ramp and kill things.
We could do
because that was funny. Yeah, that's what they do. But they are Chainax party time. That is World Eaters. The Night Lords are terror. They are so much worse for a populace.
Oh, 100%.
Because they don't care about.
Yeah, World Eaters were going against the people that would actually fight against them. They're trying to topple the Lord. They're trying to kill the army. Mm-hmm. The Night Lords would show up. And one of my favorites, this is more when they turned to cast, but they still did this when they were loyal, was they would tell you, they would have project all over the planet, screaming and everything else and telling you all the they were going to do to you. And then they would come down and flay people alive and pale them on spikes. But to the populace, not just the fighting forces.
Yeah, if you want to read the Carcharodon novel, the first Carcharodon novel is a very good coverage of modern Night Lords. I'm jumping, obviously, into Chaos Night Lords, but it's a very good coverage of modern Night Lords, which also plays this era. But the main difference, I would say, between World Eaters and Night Lords is World Eaters will kill the civilian population, but they kill the civilian population because... The militaries are hiding behind a wall and they start killing that civilian population to then convince them to come out of the wall and fight them. The Night Lords even if the military population is outside the wall, are still going to kill the civilians. They're going to target the civilians. They're going to intentionally go after them. Because what the Night Lords actually are trying to do is get, a lot of times, the civilian population to rise up against the leadership of, because they're more afraid of the Night Lords than the military leaders usually are.
This actually worked so badly. Their numbers actually suffered wildly during the Reunited Crusade because of the fact that it took them longer to conquer a lot of worlds, because the population was like, yeah, man, screw this. We're going to get murdered, skinned alive, impaled. We fight. We can't win, but screw this.
Because that's the thing, that when it worked, it worked. The populace would rise up and kill the leaders. But when it doesn't work, now it's the whole populace is now a militia. This is a nightmare zone. At the same time, Conrad also did some weird stuff. Like, he told them to make their armor more scary. And so the two things that I don't like about Night Lords, like, really don't like,
because it's just lame. There's only two things?
No, because from a Night Lord, this is from, usually I like how units are modeled in 40K. I don't like beaks, but I don't hate beaks. It's just some people are beak, some people are not beak. I'm not beak. Anyway, one, why do their jump packs have bat wings? Don't like it. Looks stupid. Calling it out. Other one, though, is they paint scary stuff on their armor.
Yes,
that's canon. They paint, like, what? A ghost? Like, what are they painting on their armor? Ooh, we're spooky. I don't understand, like, how that works. Like, yeah. Like, you are a 8-foot, 9-foot in power armor, right? With a power claw and a bolter. But I'm going to make it scary by what? I painted a mural on the front of me. I hired Banksy. You know, what is it I did here to make this a scarier thing than what you already are? That's more my issue with it. Oh, we have scary murals. If I see a Night Lord, I'm dying. I don't need it to have a scary mural on your chest plate. That's all.
Let's talk about the new recruits, and I want to talk a little bit about how he did on his world. So
let's close out with refall of Nostromo. It's not the destruction of Nostromo, the refall of Nostromo, because
the recruiting from Nostromo
didn't do a good job.
So I have to agree. I'm going to lean into this one for you. I'm to try to defend him because you're so anti. But when the Night Hunter left, he had left zero government, anything. It was just, I'm scary and crazy as shit. And I'm assuming that as soon as he walked into the ship with the Emperor and started flying away, he wasn't even out of sight yet. And the rest of the crime lords went, so like it was before, right, guys? And they went,
we're going back to the pile, right? Yep, back to the pile.
100%. And things became instant. I really do think that they probably could still see the ship flying away. And they're like, oh, so you guys are going to suffer pretty badly because of this.
Yeah. And the thing was, is the Night Lords, this was their recruiting world. So they sit there watching this world just descend into absolute nightmare hell. It is pure. And it's actually worse than it was before, because all the crime lords are like,
they're looking for vengeance. They're all climbing over each other, but they're also trying to send a message of, hey, screw this. We'll provide warriors, but guys are going to have some problems.
In effect, what happens is, but the Night Lords who were left behind to do the recruiting, much like you had, are they wolf priests? Is that what it's called for the space wolves?
Yeah.
Everyone has this, but they tend to be the most like, you know, almost like chaplains. These guys tend to be a bit loopier. So the ones who are left behind to do the recruiting, they're not left behind to run the planet. They're just going, oh, I guess this is what Nostromo is supposed to be like.
They just don't even care. Yeah. They also kind of think it's a good thing because they give you more psychopaths to recruit because of what's happening. Also, wild foreshadowing, eventually the Night Hunter comes back and has something to say.
He disagrees. Yeah, he's not a big fan of how this goes. But what happens is the Night Lords, you have the original 8th Legion who he had converted over. When Conrad leaves, he actually does grab a bunch with him and goes, yeah, I don't know, grab all of those children, turn them into Space Marines. I don't care. They come with him as an initial chunk. But then to Brad's point, as soon as he leaves, the planet starts to descend. And now the recruits over time start getting pulled from, because they are all children, from the up-and-coming child murder section of
And it's so much worse than it was before. So these guys are way worse than the originals. And they keep, and they're pushing this, by the way. Even before they fell to chaos, that I've thought that the Night Lords fell to chaos. I think that the Night Lords took an adjacent step to chaos. Yeah.
They're just like, which side? Oh, yeah, trying to.
Well, yeah, like, so keep doing the things we were doing. Got it.
The good thing they were always doing, and we're getting care packages from chaos all of a sudden. That's how it basically worked out. But what ends up happening, though, is the reason this matters is you've got this new group of recruits who start to fill out their ranks, and they are nuts. Because the thing about the gene seed is we can put the gene seed in you, and the gene seed it'll change your makeup of your body, it'll change others, but it won't change your mind. These are crazy people. And what happens is the Legion starts to become more and more violent. When Conrad first joins the Legion and he brings his Night Haunter stuff, the idea, to Brad's point, is I will bring exceptional violence and exceptional things to anyone who wrongs me or wrongs the Emperor. But it was within somewhat reason. These people who start joining are just sociopaths.
Yep.
The difference is they're looking for a reason. They're doing the say something, do something, beg you. And they start exterminating planets over and over and over again. They start slaughtering entire populaces for what seems to be no real reason.
Let's talk about this, and we'll end with this point on this, which is Conrad Start has always been a little bit away. Conrad was never a people person.
Right.
But he always kept himself apart from his Legion. And he starts to really look down upon these extra crazy. He's crazy, but these guys are extra crazy. Like, or at least, that's how he feels. But he also feels they're beneath him. Because he's like, I showed everybody what I could do. I did all these things. You're just a nothing to me. And he says this to them a lot, actually.
And what happens, and the Legion doesn't, he's not a leader. And so the Legion doesn't really understand what to do. So what happens is, what we actually sort of mentioned too, is that the other problem with this is, the Legion is trying to basically get in his good graces and they see when he does go with them places, they see the violence and the way he does, and they go, okay, that's the way to do it. And then they try to kind of copy him. And that's what starts compounding this, because the truth is, he is nuts. Conrad, if Conrad saw vids of what he did, he would hate Conrad.
Oh, 100%.
So that's the problem, is that they're then copying
I
him.
I do. That's the thing, though. Conrad does hate Conrad.
That's true. Yeah, he does hate Conrad. That is true. So this becomes we're setting the Legion up now for a pretty aggressive fall, and not the chaos fall. That's going to happen no matter what. An internal fall, because we're actually, in the next episode, we're going to get into the Night Lords have almost like three falls all back to back to back. There's the fall of, obviously, the chaos, but they actually have an internal fall to the point where in modern 40K, they're one of the smallest chaos legions. And the reason for that is, much like the world eaters, where they're going to splinter, they splinter much worse than the world eaters do, because they also really like each other.
Pummeled as part of Horus's plan.
Part of potentially Kurz's plan, if I'm being honest. They're not ever really able to recover. They've got some of a salamander.
Remember, the Night Hunter just keeps showing up places to talk, and it's always terrible for his Legion.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, what are you guys going to do about this? They're like, we're going to beat the crap out of your guys. And he's like, oh, no, that'd be terrible. Then he leaves.
So in the next episode, we're going to get into the fall of Conrad, the full mental fall of Conrad, the entering of the Horus Heresy, and depending on time, what happens then post-heresy, which is actually not a lot. Post-heresy, they're one of the chapters. They're not White Scars, but they're one of the chapters who post-heresy, they just show up places, cause problems, and disappear. But
they're in a lot of special people's stories.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not White Scars level in that. They're in,
they exist.
They're in the lore quite a bit. They're always someone else's story.
The Carcharodon novel, they are... Yeah. Primary in the Carcharodon novel. They do a lot of stuff, but they're just not major. But Anyway, with that, until next week, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys then.